Well, hello, folks. This is Chris. On this show, you hear me often talk about legacy. But have you ever wondered, how do I create a legacy? Well, we created the Legacy Journey to help you answer that question. Go to stewardship.com and click on the Legacy Journey DVD Home Study for more information on building wealth and start creating your legacy today.
Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, folks, and welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. I am your host, Chris Brown, and today is a little bit special, a little bit different. I'm excited that Patrick Lencioni is going to be on the show today. He's joining us for the broadcast. If you don't know who he is and you've kind of been living under a rock, he has been helping millions of people for a very long time when it comes to stewarding leadership and stewarding organizations. So pretty cool stuff. Patrick Lencioni, just to give you a little background, is founder and president of The Table Group, a firm that's dedicated to helping leaders improve their organization's health, which is a really good thing, all the way since 1997. His principles have been embraced by leaders around the world. A lot of your church leaders follow his tutelage quite a bit. But around the world, adopted by organizations of virtually every kind, including multinational corporations, the big monsters, you know, the entrepreneurial adventures, the smaller ones, professional sports teams, the military, schools, and yes, the churches that you all attend. So Lencioni is the author of 10 business books with over 3 million copies sold worldwide. His work has appeared, obviously, in Wall Street Journal, Harvard Business Review, USA Today, you name it. And most importantly, of course, the one and only Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Now, how does all of that mix with our message of stewardship? Are you kind of confused right now? Well, I am so glad that you asked. We'll see in just a few minutes. You know, as I talk to people about being good stewards of what God has given them, Proverbs 10:4 frequently comes to my mind. It says, "Lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth." It's funny, that actually goes along with our conversation today as well. Side note. But have you ever wondered, what does the Bible really say about building wealth? Really, what's in there? Well, we created the Legacy Journey to help you answer that specific question. Go to stewardship.com, our website, and click on the Legacy Journey DVD Home Study to get much more information about that. Well, like I mentioned, we do have a special guest, Pat Lencioni, with us today, and we're excited to introduce him and to bring him onto the broadcast. So, Pat Lencioni, thank you for your time and your wisdom.
Hey, it's great to be here.
You just launched a book. We're sitting here on April 28th, and you launched a book this week, a couple days ago. And man, when I read the title, I'm like, this audience needs to hear this. The title, The Ideal Team Player, How to Recognize and Cultivate the Three Essential Virtues. And on this show a lot, we talk about, you know, getting out of debt. We talk about building wealth, but there's also an income side to that. And we got to ask ourselves, how promotable are we? What goes into being promoted? What goes into being successful at the workplace and being a good steward of our time there at work? So, Pat, I've read Death by Meeting. I've read The Advantage. I've read The Five Dysfunctions of a Team. I mean, I'm all about it. This particular resource, because it's only been out a couple of days, I've only been able to skim through it, but man, it has really rocked my face off. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about what an ideal team player looks like.
Well, an ideal team player might not seem extraordinary when you just break it down into the three requirements, but the combination of those three makes for a truly extraordinary person for a team in any organization, for a family, for a church, for any kind of team they're on. And the ideal team player shares three qualities. They're humble, which means they're more about others and more about the good of the group than about themselves. They're hungry, which means they just like to work hard and they never have to be asked to do more. And they are smart, not intellectually smart, but smart about people. They know how to say and do things and understand the subtle interactions of people on a team.
Mm-hmm.
And when you find a person that has all three of those, a combination of humility, hunger, and people smarts, it's the definition of somebody who's going to slide into a team and make it better, and they're going to become such a valuable asset to any organization they're a part of.
Mm-hmm. You had kind of said that, you know, humility and hunger and being smart, you know, are not as important as all three of them being together. Totally with you on that. But Pat, as I talk to folks on this show, it's a call-in show typically, and when they call in, I'd just be honest with you. I don't detect a whole lot of. I definitely detect a lot of humility. But tell us a little bit about this hunger thing. What does hunger look like in the workplace as we're trying to be good stewards of our energy and our time and our giftings? What does true hunger look like?
Well, it's interesting. A hungry person is one I've been working on this model for the last 20 years. It's the kind of person who is just not satisfied doing the bare minimum. It's a person, and I've been looking for people like this in my company. And I always look for a person who just kind of grew up with that innate sense of working hard and going the extra mile. And but the problem is, a person can be hungry in the wrong way. If a person has no sense of balance in their family and in their life and their faith, of course, and I don't even like to talk about faith being in balance. I mean, it's the first and most important. It's the context for everything. A person can make their work too important. Mm. But in the context of whatever work they're doing, whether they're volunteering at church or whether they're serving their family or they're in a job, they're the kind of person who says, I am going to give it my all and I'm going to go the extra mile to make sure this works.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that people can develop that later in life, but oftentimes it's something that gets established in a person relatively early, relatively young. So hunger is just that idea that this person just is not satisfied with doing things in a mediocre way and really, really wants to go above and beyond.
Yeah, you know, and I've got lots of folks who call into the show. And, you know, some show a level of hunger, some obviously don't, and some are just over the top where they'll run through a brick wall to succeed as a manager of God's resources. Let's just say that somebody's listening in right now, and they just admittedly, hunger's not there. They're just lack of motivation. They're not inspired. You know, they're just not ready to go. You talked about in your book, ideal team players are hungry, always looking for more. And more things to do, more to learn, more responsibility to take on. They almost never have to be pushed by a manager to work harder because they're self-motivated and they're diligent. They're constantly thinking about the next step and the next opportunity. There's listeners in right now, listening in, that are thinking, gosh, I'm just not there. What are the typical causes for that? Do you know any causes of what would create that?
Well, I'll tell you, Chris, I'm having one of those days right now, and I've had a week like that.
Mm.
And I was talking to my wife about it, and she said, well, wake up, get on your knees, and ask the Holy Spirit to order your day.
Yeah.
I think sometimes we lose hunger when we're self-motivated, and we don't realize that, as you talked about in your definition of true stewardship, which I wrote down here, that we're not managing God's blessings for God's glory. And so if it's all about us, then it's tough to be hungry because we get, you know, life, we get enough sometimes.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, St. Paul said, you know, work hard. When you're making tents or whatever you're doing, you work hard, and people that work hard are the ones that eat. And so you can take care of those who can't. Sometimes when we get a sense that I'm doing this for myself, we say, well, that's enough. I don't really need anything else. Of course, so I think a big part of it is asking ourselves, why are we working hard? And of course, when I talk to a secular audience, I don't put it in exactly those terms, unless, of course, I can.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes if we're doing it out of ego, after a while, we get satiated.
Yeah.
So I think a big part of this is realizing that God gave us talents and he gave us abilities. And even if we don't feel like using them that day, our emotions shouldn't dictate our hunger. It should be our principles and our values.
So good.
I say that I'm in struggling with right now. I was told my wife this morning, I said, why do I feel so unmotivated? I've got this book just come out. And you know, I've got all kinds of things going on. And I think the evil one wants us to be, you know, sloth is real.
Yes.
And I think we have to fight that every day.
Yeah. And I think it's really inspiring and encouraging to those listening in. One, that you're proving the humility to admit that. And it's inspiring that somebody as accomplished as you goes through those bouts. And so that's really good for us to hear. Well, let's break down humility for a second. You address humility from the standpoint of some of the things that you write in the book are lacking excessive ego, like you touched on a little bit already, or concerns about status. Quick to point out the contributions of others. I love that. Slow to seek the attention of your own, sharing credit, that kind of stuff. When you think about humility, how do you suggest that we cultivate that humility in our lives?
Well, I think, you know, I love the two thoughts about humility. One, I don't know whose definition this was. The definition of humility is, there is a God, I am not him, therefore I must be humble. The second one, I love C.S. Lewis. His quote was, you know, humility is not thinking less of yourself, but it's thinking about yourself less. Because humility is not a false sense of modesty or even a lack of understanding of your gifts. And too often we say, okay, that guy's braggy. He's not humble. That person over there, she's not braggy at all. In fact, she lacks confidence, and she's very, very shy about putting herself out there. So she's humble. And humility isn't that. Although I'll take that person on. I'd rather build a person up than have to hold them back sometimes. But I think that humility is understanding that you have strengths and everything else, but that you don't need attention for those, but you're not going to deny them. And that you're going to work on a team for the good of the group, and it's not really about you. And of course, it's tough to talk about humility because it's not only a great quality to have on a team, but it's the chief virtue, I think, right? Because if pride is the root of all sin, mm-hmm. then humility is the antidote to that.
Yeah.
And Christ's most alluring, attractive quality as a human, God-made man, was his humanity, his humility, that he would be so humble and people were drawn to that. Now, here's the difficult thing. Humility is the greatest virtue, I think. But if to be a team player, if you're only humble, which makes you a wonderful human being and a great neighbor maybe, but you're not particularly hungry or smart, you're not really going to contribute very well to a team. In fact, we have a word for a person who's only humble, and we call them the pawn on a team.
Mm.
Because they will often not exert themselves, and they won't necessarily know how to deal with others. They're that wonderful guy on a team that nobody asks for his opinion, and they don't really go to him because he's not very motivated, and he doesn't really know how to deal with others well.
Mm.
He might be a great monk, God bless him, but when it comes to a team player, there are other qualities to have. So I struggle with that because it's like, be humble. But if you're looking for a person to add on your team, make sure they also have hunger and smarts.
Yeah. I guess it's the difference between being confident and cocky.
Yes.
Kind of thing. But you still have to have some confidence and get some stuff done too. Now, those who are listening in, what if most people were to say, okay, so Chris, you said share credit and emphasize team over self and define success collectively rather than an individual. Do you think that most people, out of a lack of awareness, would say that they do that already?
That they demonstrate humility?
Yeah. Do you think there's a lot of people walking around going, you know what, I struggle with humility, or they'd be going around saying, man, I've aced the humility thing.
Man, well, if they say they've aced it, there's a decent chance that there's a blind spot there, because I think that this is such a, I mean, again, you know, I believe in original sin, and I think that we all come out of the womb thinking about ourselves,
yeah.
And I think humility is not natural to any of us, and so it needs to be learned and nurtured, and the only way to do that is by recognizing your limitations. So I think that the most humble people would probably say they struggle with it, and most non-humble people would say they are good at it. It's almost by definition. So no, I think very few people would say they've got that one nailed, because there's the temptation to seek for yourself is always right around the corner.
Yes. Now, how important is accountability and all that? You know, how important is it to, you said blind spot, and then for my mind, it automatically went to accountability. We talk about that a lot on the show, of having accountability with your budget and with spending and those kind of things. But when it comes to humility, how important is accountability?
Well, it's so critical because you want people to sharpen you, and you want them to remind you when you're making a mistake. And when you lack humility, and this happens with a lot of people that don't look like an arrogant person on the outside, but lack humility, they have a hard time accepting compliments and they have a hard time accepting criticism. Whereas a truly humble person, somebody will say, "Ooh, you were that sounded a little cockier. I think you're being a little selfish there." They will say, "Thank you for telling me that, and because I need others around me that will hold me accountable, and I want to hold myself accountable." And so they will appreciate that. Whereas a person who lacks humility, especially if they lack confidence, as you said, will often struggle to receive that kind of constructive criticism.
Yeah.
So accountability is key. Holding ourselves accountable. But I think the best tool for accountability is our family and our friends.
Yeah, people that care. Yeah. Well, folks, you are listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship, and we are talking with author Pat Lencioni about his new book, The Ideal Team Player, How to Recognize and Cultivate the Three Essential Virtues. Today, we're talking all about working and leading for God and for God's glory, stewarding that time at the workplace. You know, the money lessons that we teach every day on this show work because they're not our ways of handling God's money, but they're God's way of handling God's money. And they're the same lessons that we teach in Financial Peace University, giving you a plan for that emergency that will happen, for attacking debt, for investing and forgiving. Maybe you're listening right now and you've been following the plan and check it out. You're out of debt. It worked. That's huge, right? But now you're left asking, now what? That's not uncommon. You know, a funny thing happens. You're in baby step three, you're closing in on baby step four, and you start asking a whole new set of questions. Things that didn't even matter to you when you were paying off debt. That's why we created the Legacy Journey. That helps you answer all of those questions. The Legacy Journey DVD Home Study is a class based on biblical principles that will give you a plan for working through the next steps. Proverbs 10:4 says, "Lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth." We want you to know what the Bible really says about building wealth and give you a plan to start creating your legacy today. If you want to know more, head to stewardship.com and click on the Legacy Journey DVD Home Study. And take the next step. Get those questions answered and start creating your legacy.
You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Remember, we want to hear your questions and your success stories. Every story, from your smallest milestone to your biggest victory. Email Chris at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's right, you can email us at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com or call us at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. And this is Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
Again, you're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. We've got Pat Lencioni joining us on the broadcast today. We're talking all about stewardship, not necessarily money today. We're talking about how to steward our time at work, whether you're leading or whether you're following. And we are talking about his new book, The Ideal Team Player, How to Recognize and Cultivate the Three Essential Virtues. And it's a book that's brand new this week, and definitely want you to grab a copy. It's incredible. So I noticed in your title, you chose the word virtues. Is there a reason why you chose virtues rather than something like characteristics?
Yeah, you know, we thought about that long and hard and debated it. The idea is this. The word virtue is used in different ways. In a biblical sense, you know, virtues are qualities that we can develop through goodness and prayer and seeking God's will. In a secular world, some people say that's a virtue of this, by virtue of this, that it's also just another word for characteristic. And we liked that word because it had both of those, because humility, for instance, is a virtue in and of itself. People smarts, for instance, the third, is more of a little bit more of a skill. And you can be really smart about people and not be a good person. Mm. You can use that, and I dare say that the best or worst politicians are people that use their people smarts and their hunger, but because they lack humility, they actually are very dangerous. And so being interpersonally smart is a virtue in terms of being a characteristic, but being humble is a virtue in the greater sense of the word. So we liked that because it kind of had a moral element to it as well as just a characteristic. And using the word characteristic or attribute just seemed a little too wonky to us.
Yeah.
We thought virtue would be something people go, ooh, interesting. Let's talk about that.
Right. Well, it did that for me. I saw the title and I was like, man, we gotta address this as a stewardship community. Let's take this from a leadership perspective, and we've got some folks that would call themselves leaders who are listening in, and some that wouldn't. But as we know, all of us are leaders. We have some kind of sphere of influence. How can someone build a workforce of people, or maybe it's a team at home or wherever you're at and wherever your sphere of influence is, of people like this, people that are hungry, people that are humble and smart, the combination of the three? Is there a way to cultivate that?
Yeah. First of all, demonstrating it is the most important thing.
Okay.
Secondly, confronting people out of love that are struggling in this area. I mean, half the battle here is just establishing this model as like, here's something we want to strive to be. And by the way, these three words are so simple. I mean, somebody might be hearing this going, well, this isn't anything new. Humility, hunger, smart. Okay. It's the fact that it's the overlap of all three that's so important.
Yeah.
And just putting it out there, and we worked with a team recently that did this, and we had them all go through. We defined these terms very quickly. And then we said, self-assess in terms of your strength, your second and your weakest area. And it was incredible how just looking at this, everybody goes, oh my gosh, that's my weakest. And then we had them brainstorm with one another about how they could get better. And so just talking about the model and just having everybody say, which is my area of development, and committing to one another what they're going to do to improve it is the best way to cultivate it. Because nobody's going to go, I don't think I need to be hungry. Mm-hmm. Or I don't even think I need to be humble. I don't think I need to be smart. And very few people will say, I'm already great at all of them. I don't need any help. So just putting it out there and making it a conversation, I think, is the best thing we can do to cultivate it.
Well, Pat, of course, we thank you for your time. But my last question that I want for me and for everybody, for us to, I just want you to get up in our grill a little bit. Many that are listening in, they possibly are looking for a promotion. They're thinking, hey, it'd be so much nicer if I had this much more platform, I had this much more impact, or I had this much more income. And I just want, you're like a guy who's been all over the planet. You've done tons of research. You obviously have been successful yourself. You're not just a theorist, you're a practitioner. I want you to tell us, as our coach, what do we need to do to get our next promotion?
You have to, and I love this, don't worry about yourself. Give it away. Be a radical team player. And be so selfless. Be so hardworking and so aware of the needs of others that you run the very risk of being overlooked. And almost no one who acts that way, who loses sense of themselves, almost no one who does that gets overlooked in the end. And when you do get overlooked because you are so selfless, so hungry, and so smart, celebrate that, because it means you're doing the right thing. So be so radical that you put yourself in a position to possibly be overlooked.
This resource is absolutely phenomenal for us to, obviously, humility and hunger, which is obviously talked all throughout the scriptures, of being diligent, being motivated, running for the prize, going after it, and the obviously being relationally smart. That's all throughout the scriptures. And what you've done for us today is you've allowed us, you've kind of given us permission to look at leadership and to look at our time at work through the lens of stewardship and how well we're doing that. So we really appreciate this work. We appreciate the time. Of course, we're going to have a link for this at stewardship.com for everyone to grab a copy. But we're very thankful for your work, and you continue to minister to us. So thank you for your time.
Chris, you've been an inspiration to me, your life story and what you're doing. So it's an honor to be here, and I hope that in some small way this helps someone in their life.
Well, folks, it was really important for me to bring that resource to you. Many of us are looking to reduce our expenses, but we're also looking to increase our income and not just make more money, earn more money, to add more value. And the way we add more value, we learned today, is to be a successful team player, an ideal team player. So make sure you check out that book. We're going to have a link right there by this episode at stewardship.com. And again, that was Pat Lencioni. He's the author, and an incredible resource for all of us. As a reminder, before we go today, you can go to stewardship.com as well and learn all about the Legacy Journey DVD Home Study. It's a biblically based class that will give you a plan for your next steps in your financial journey. So make sure you check it out and start creating your legacy today. We're creating legacies at work. We're creating legacies at home. But ultimately, we're creating a legacy that eternally our Savior will look us in the face and say, "Well done, faithful servant." God bless y'all.